This podcast is brought to you by Cross Catholic Outreach. Last year, Cross Catholic Outreach provided over 30 million meals to families in need around the world. Join us in our global effort to reduce material and spiritual poverty. Learn more at crosscatholic.org/bless.
Finding someone on an online Catholic dating site shouldn't be like shopping for a blender. So why do most dating sites leave you feeling like you're shopping for a spouse? At Catholic Singles, we connect members through our unique user polls and activities, which help you discover other members and their personalities and interests. Because you're a person, not a profile picture. So stop shopping and start discerning. Trust your love story to the original Catholic dating site and use the promo code BREADBOX at checkout for 20% off at catholicsingles.com.
Peace be with you. I am Bruce Wozniak. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other platforms. Thanks so much for joining me for this and hopefully many other episodes. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net. You can listen there, but there are also links there to hear the show on all kinds of podcast listening apps. And there are links on the website to Catholic Sports Radio on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can always send comments through the website. Plus, you can post thoughts, suggestions, and engage with other listeners in the show's Facebook group, which is called CSR Listeners. There's a button for that, too, on catholicsportsradio.net. Let me know what you like about the show, any particular guests you've really enjoyed, testimonies that have really spoken to you. Most importantly, let me know how Catholic Sports Radio has helped you in your faith life. And please help me spread the word about the show. I'd be most grateful if you would tell others to listen in as well. And of course, if this is your first time listening, thank you. And do go back and listen to previous episodes of Catholic Sports Radio. There have been a lot of great guests, a lot of really good testimony. As for my ministry moment for this episode, at the time of this recording, I'm spending many of my nights watching the NHL playoff series between the Boston Bruins and my hometown Tampa Bay Lightning. Our Bolts, however, are having to play without Steven Stamkos, the team captain who is injured. It's times like these when you'll hear a coach say something like, "It's not an ideal situation, but we'll just have to find a way." And I'm thinking about the sacrifices that we as Catholic Christians make during the season of Lent. And just like someone might wonder why an athlete's injury would get talked about during a sports off-season, you're probably questioning why I would be bringing up Lent when it's August and we're in ordinary time. However, just like you might talk about a sport or an athlete when they're in season or not, we can fast any time of year, not just during Lent. It can and should draw us closer to God as we offer up our sacrifice to Him. But in doing so, remember the words from Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 to 18, when Jesus says, "When you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites. They neglect their appearance so that they may appear to others to be fasting. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that you may not appear to others to be fasting, except to your Father who is hidden. And your Father who sees what is hidden will repay you." Friends, athletes sacrifice their bodies for the sport they love. Let us consider what sacrifices we can make for the Father who loves us. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest played baseball in elementary school, soccer in high school, and now in his adult life is an avid marathoner, including having participated in events from Southern California to New York City to Naples, Florida, and even Rome, Italy. Meanwhile, he wrote a book called 100 Ways Pope John Paul II Changed the World and has won more than 24 awards from the Catholic Press Association. He met Pope St. John Paul II 5 times. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Patrick Novikoski.
Hey, Bruce. Good to be with you.
Likewise. Thanks for being here, Patrick. I think that by that intro, the audience should already know, okay, this guy is very Catholic. But Patrick, where did that foundation for your faith get started?
Very Catholic, to say the least. There's a Divine Mercy image right here over my shoulder, and that's not by accident. I grew up in Saskatchewan, Canada. Matter of fact, I grew up about an hour from where Gordie Howe was born. And anyone who knows anything about the sport of hockey or sports in general knows that he was nicknamed Mr. Hockey. And not only that, but he was an incredible gentleman. Gordie Howe story. I have to tell the story if I'm talking about Saskatchewan and sports. Gordie Howe is one of my heroes for a lot of reasons. And here's one. I had a niece who died at 13 years old. She was severely handicapped. She never spoke a word. Mm-hmm. She never walked, but she was tenacious. She had an incredible personality. And one day my brother was at the airport with his daughter, who's in a wheelchair. And her name was Christina, named after my grandmother. And Christina's sitting there in her wheelchair, and my brother's waiting for a friend at the airport. And all of a sudden, this elderly gentleman appears, and he kneels down, gets down on a knee, and starts talking to his daughter. And my brother looks over, and it's Gordie Howe.
Wow.
Talking to my handicapped niece, and smiling at her, and just giving her a moment of joy. Mm. So I'm very proud to be from Saskatchewan, from the province that gave the world Gordie Howe. Mm-hmm. Where did my faith life come from? It came from my family, from my parents. I'm probably a 50th generation Catholic. Mm. I trace my family back about 5-6 generations, and they are always illiterate Catholic farmers up until my generation. Mm. I suppose my father wasn't illiterate. My grandfather knew a little bit of German. He could read a little bit. My father had 8 grades of education, became a school bus driver, a farmer, a musician, and father of 9
wow.
kids.
Wow.
And my dad had 2 goals in life. One was to be married for 50 years, which he accomplished, and to have a large family and raise them in the faith, which he did. Mm. He didn't get to see his 51st anniversary. He died of cancer 4 years ago. But his pride and joy was knowing that he raised his family, his children, and subsequent nearly, I guess, 20, 21 grandchildren to know Jesus and to love their Catholic faith.
Outstanding.
So that's the firm base that I come from. Although I didn't always live the faith, you know, it was the base that I grew up with. And when times got tough, I turned to God and the church and never looked back.
And you might be surprised, Patrick, to hear listeners, if you've ever read the About the Host page of CatholicSportsRadio.net and all about my background in sports. When I first started working for the International Softball Federation, it was within the first year that I was there that I went to Saskatoon, Saskatchewan for the Women's World Championship. And we later went back there many years, I think it was 2009 maybe, for the Men's World Championship. So I've actually been to Saskatchewan twice. Patrick, I mentioned in the intro that in elementary school you played baseball. Was sports a big part of your childhood? And if so, was it something you saw yourself really wanting to try to pursue long term, or was it more recreational back then?
It was a little bit of both. From the time I was 8 years old till the time I was about 13, 14, avid baseball fan. The whole rivalry between the LA Dodgers and the New York Yankees, 77, 78, 79, 80, that era, I was all over baseball. and so when I had a chance to play, it was really a joy. And we had a great coach, 7th, 8th grade, played baseball, and then transitioned into soccer in high school because they didn't have a high school baseball team.
Okay.
And yeah, it was recreational, but it was also, you know, I understood that we are, as human beings, we're a body and spirit, right? So we need to feed both of them. And some of the lessons I learned in sports, both in baseball and in soccer, have stayed with me. For example, in 8th grade, I hit an in the park home run.
Wow.
And I remember when I crossed home plate, I mean, I swung, I hit the ball. It was a great hit. But I remember before I even got to home plate, I asked God, okay, when I get to heaven, can you show me this? Because I didn't even see it. I was so busy focusing on the coach, looking at the first base coach, and he's waving me on, looking at the third base coach, and he's waving me on. So I didn't see where the ball went. I didn't see how it was fielded, but I want to see that one day.
And you really but said that. You really asked God that as you were circling the bases.
I did.
Wow. Wow.
I did. But then it occurred to me in my adult life that when I get to heaven, I'm really not going to care about that. I'll just be overwhelmed by God himself and the heavenly host and all that, that I'm probably not going
to
care.
Let's back up to something that you started to say in your previous answer to my first question about growing up in Saskatchewan and your family background, because you started to say something that I think sounded a little bit like maybe not as always as strong in your faith. And so I was wondering, now that you've started to mention you played soccer in high school, would you say you were just as much a student athlete as you were a practicing Catholic at that point in your life, or was maybe one taking a back seat to the other?
I think they were both taking a back seat to everything.
Oh. Wow.
I wouldn't say that. I always went to church on Sunday. Never missed church on Sunday. Always went to confession a couple of times a year at least, even through college. But my faith didn't really become everything to me until I was in my mid-20s or so.
Hmm.
I guess I would call myself a Sunday Catholic in those days, where I'm going to church on Sunday and kind of going through the motions. Like I said, I had that firm foundation that my parents gave me, but I didn't really own the faith until I became a little bit older.
Okay, but I'm surprised to hear you say this, though, because in terms of higher education, you attended two Catholic colleges. So I was assuming going into today that those choices had to be spiritually based when you picked those schools.
Well, they were, in a sense, because that's the direction my family wanted me to go. Mm. I mean, I hadn't rejected the faith, but I just hadn't owned it. It was a part of my life. My faith was a big part of my life, but it wasn't everything for me. I don't know if anything was everything for me. I was still figuring out life. I think when you're young, you leave home and you're setting out on your own, you're trying to, navigate so many things. You're trying to navigate what is life all about? What am I going to do for a career? Who are my friends? What's my party life like? And and what's important to me? And ultimately, it's that question: what's the most important thing to you? And that's what you spend your time and your energy at.
Mm.
And for me, it wasn't my faith. It was a piece of my life, to be sure, and an important part.
Mm-hmm.
But I hadn't come to the realization that Jesus is real and he is who he said he was. He is who he said he is, until I was in my mid-late 20s.
Okay.
And that was a hinge point, a real hinge point, where my faith didn't become just a part of my life. It became the middle, the center, the everything, that everything I brought to prayer, to Jesus, to Sunday Mass became far more important. The sacraments became far more important. And that became the guiding force in my life.
So in quote-unquote more recent years, 2011 to be exact, you started into what is now a very active adult life as a marathoner. So how did that come to be?
Well, things would have it. So when I was in my mid-late 20s and I had, I guess, my reversion to the faith, God brought me down an interesting path. I went from Saskatchewan to Southern California, mm-hmm. started working for a Catholic youth magazine called U Magazine. Before that, it was Veritas, and met a really dynamic group of young Catholics who were really into their faith. Basically, my whole career as a journalist, as an editor, as a publicist, has been in the Catholic faith. So God had this plan for me that I never could have foreseen, to be working in his church for my entire life. And so that was a big part of my formation. So how I got into running is really interesting, because I remember trying to train as a track athlete in high school. Mm-hmm. And I didn't like running. I felt like my brain was rattling around in my skull every time I took a step. When I ran, I got side aches. I just kind of put it on the shelf, didn't like it. Mm-hmm. But When I was in my early 30s, I was working for the Marian Fathers, Marians of the Immaculate Conception in Stockbridge, Massachusetts. And I came home from work. I didn't have an active sports life at all, or I was not doing anything athletic. And I found that I was my muscles were very tight. I didn't have a lot of money. I had car payments, I had student loan payments, and I didn't have money to join a gym. So I bought a pair of shoes and I ran a mile. And I was really proud of myself. It was the only thing I could afford and probably the cheapest way to kind of burn off some calories and loosen up the muscles. And I liked it. So a few days later, I ran another mile, and then another mile. And then that 1-2 mile run turned into a 3-4 mile run. And instead of once or twice a week, it was 3 times a week. And by the time I got married and when I was 33, that was a regular part of my life. And you know, I'd go for a few months without running, and then I'd get back to it again. I wouldn't run during the winter. I'd start to swim a little bit. But by the time I was in my late 30s, I heard that Oprah ran a marathon. And I thought, well, if Oprah can run a marathon, I can run a marathon. President Bush ran a marathon, George W. Bush. So I thought, well, if he can run a marathon, I can run a marathon. So I started pushing myself a little bit further, and I ran my first half marathon. I think it was in 2009. And I liked it. I did well. I got a medal. Of course, everybody that finishes gets a medal, and that's good and fine. By that time, I was 40-ish, and I knew that the only person I'm competing against here is myself. Trying to outrun what I did yesterday and do better than I did previously. And 10, 12 years later, here I am, having run 4 marathons, but a dozen, maybe 15 half marathons. And I keep trying to at least match what I did last year.
Well, and so, you feel good too, obviously.
I do. It helps keep the weight down, and it helps keep me limber, and reminds me that I need to take care of my body as much as I'm taking care of my soul.
And selfishly, this is where I'm supposed to say, when people are going out for a run, that's a good time to listen to Catholic Sports Radio.
Indeed. I listen to podcasts while I run.
Great.
I used to listen to music, and then that got pretty old. So I started listening to podcasts and books on tape, and accumulated quite a library.
Awesome. Listeners, I certainly am just as eager as you are to hear from Patrick about, as I mentioned in the intro, meeting Pope St. John Paul II, not to mention doing so 5 times. But before I have him share those experiences with us, as well as talk about his book about JP2, please know how much I appreciate you listening to Catholic Sports Radio. I say it every week because I truly am grateful for everyone who subscribes, everyone who sends me emails, all of you who engage with the posts on Catholic Sports Radio social media. And I'm also thankful for everyone who is helping to spread the word about the show so that more people can be moved closer to Christ through this ministry. In the meantime, as I keep pushing ahead with Catholic Sports Radio, there are unfortunately expenses that I have to take on out of my own pocket since I don't have any sponsors and I don't get any kind of income from doing this. So if you're able to help out, I would truly appreciate your support of this ministry by way of the Donate to CSR button that you will see on CatholicSportsRadio.net. It allows you to contribute securely online in whatever amount you decide. There's no minimum. And when you go to it, you'll see that there's not even a drop-down list of amounts to choose from. You put in whatever you want. No contribution is too big and no contribution is too small. There have also been folks who have contributed by way of mailing me a check or money order. Just use the contact page on CatholicSportsRadio.net to get in touch, and I will personally write you back with an address that you can send your donation to. On episodes 53 through 60, I gave examples of many expenses that your donation helps me with. There was actually another expense, too, that I talked about on episode 67 with a clarification to it 1 week later on episode 68. You can go back and listen to those to hear the various costs that I was citing. But the bottom line here is that I want to be able to continue to be obedient to God's call and serve Him through this show and hopefully help you out in your walk with Him. So if you enjoy Catholic Sports Radio and it's helping your faith life, I would appreciate your prayerful consideration of helping me out through the Donate to CSR button on the website or by sending a check or money order. Patrick, even though you've run marathons in Rome, since we just heard you talk about getting started in 2011 with competing, how is it that you had opportunities to meet Pope St. John Paul II, being that he died in 2005?
Well, that's an interesting story in itself. When I started working for the Marian Fathers in the fall of 96, a brand new employee, they had an annual Christmas raffle where you buy these tickets and they raise some money for charity. Their vendors would donate prizes. And back in those days, nobody booked their airline fares through the internet. It wasn't a thing. So they used a travel agent. And the travel agent gave the grand prize every year. And that year, it was a trip for two to Cancun. And who won the grand prize? But the new guy, the kid. He won the grand prize. They pulled my name out of a bin. And lo and behold, I won the trip to Cancun. But I've never been one to sit on a beach by myself. At the time, I wasn't married, was single, and I thought sitting on a beach in Cancun by myself would be the loneliest thing I could ever do. So I called the travel agent and I said, "Could I trade that in for a trip to Rome?" And they said, "Well, yeah, absolutely."
Wow!
So it was a good deal for them, good deal for me. So I made it known to everyone that I was going to Rome. I was going to, you know, see the Vatican, the Holy City, and my brother came with me, my brother Fred, and my boss got wind of this. He said, "Well, if you're going to Rome, you might as well stay at our house there. The Marians are an international order; they're in about a dozen countries. Matter of fact, they had priests and brothers behind the Iron Curtain throughout the Soviet era." And they have a house in Rome. Their general is in Rome. So he said, "Well, you might as well stay at our house." So I said, "Sure, absolutely." And he said, "You can do some work for us there." They wanted to send me through Eastern Europe to interview some of these priests and brothers. I was working for their magazine at the time. Some of these priests and brothers that had been behind the Iron Curtain. John Paul II had charged the Marians with leading the re-evangelization of Eastern Europe after the fall of communism. So that made sense to me, and I said, "Sure."
Interesting.
And my boss says, "Well, and would you like to meet the Pope?"
Wow. Wow.
And I said, "Do you need to ask? If there's a list, just put me on it, please." And they put me on the list, and on October 1st, 1997, I met John Paul II for the first time. At that time, I was also the webmaster of Marian.org, the Marian's website. And I had written a bunch of information about Divine Mercy, then Blessed Faustina and Divas in Misericordia, John Paul's encyclical on Divine Mercy. And so when I met the Holy Father, I presented him with pages from the website. So, and I can send you that picture if you want to put it into the podcast.
Yes.
I'm standing there beside the Vicar of Christ, in my mind, the greatest pope in 1,000 years. And I'm speaking to him. I'm just a farm kid from Saskatchewan. I'm speaking to the greatest pope in 1,000 years, and he's listening to me. Incredibly humble. I felt very humble to have that opportunity. And I was the only one. Not only that, I got to attend his mass in his private chapel in the papal apartments across the hall from his bedroom, his study, where he did all of his great work, in his private chapel where he prayed and did some of his greatest
work.
And it was one of the greatest days of my life, probably the greatest day of my life to that point.
Well, I will say, go ahead and send me that picture. And listeners, I will share that picture in the CSR listeners Facebook group during the week. And so, Patrick, I was going to ask you, I kind of feel like I already get the spirit with which you, the opinion you had for him. I was going to ask you, what was your inspiration for writing your book, 100 Ways John Paul II Changed the World? But I think you're already leading us there.
Yeah. And so that led to subsequent trips to Rome and to Eastern Europe, because my writing for the Marians magazine went very well. So they sent me back every year. I got to meet the Holy Father 5 separate times. And so he had a great impact on me personally. When I was a teenager in Saskatchewan, 1984, he came to Canada and he visited every province except Saskatchewan. I didn't have a chance to go to the papal tour of Canada, but I had a dream that he came to my house. Mm. And the dream was one of the most vivid dreams of my life. In my dream, I embraced him. I gave him a hug. And I still know what that felt like. It was a very tangible dream. And so even as a young teenager, I had this experience of John Paul II, and then getting to meet him was just, it was mind-blowing. So how I came to write the book, I had already been giving a talk dozens and dozens of times on how I met him, and I built into that talk the top 10 ways he changed the world. His top 10 gifts to the church: World Youth Day, the Catechism of the Catholic Church, the New Evangelization, a great list of things, the luminous mysteries that he gave us. And
wow.
So about a year and a half ago, I realized that his 100th birthday was coming up in May of 2020. And I knew that if I was going to take this talk and work it into a book, that I better get going pretty quickly. So I started writing July 1st of 2019. Mm. I finished it in 3 months.
Wow.
And I pitched it to a bunch of Catholic publishers. Our Sunday Visitor published it. It's available now on Kindle. And the paperback edition is available publicly on October 1st.
Okay, and listeners, I'll put a link to Patrick's book on the show page for this episode on CatholicSportsRadio.net. Patrick, I imagine that when someone is doing a marathon, it's probably a really good time to be in prayer, but do you find yourself praying to Pope St. John Paul II?
Yeah, from time to time I do, particularly when I'm in a situation where there's something that he in particular had a passion for. And I do find him, as you know, because I met him so many times, as one of my personal patrons. So absolutely, I pray for his intercession pretty regularly.
And listeners, Rome is not the only destination that Patrick has traveled to. Share with the audience about going to Mexico, and I don't mean Cancun.
Yeah, funny you should say that. When I was 25, I had the chance. I was still living in Saskatchewan at the time. I was working for a regional Catholic newspaper, and I had the chance to go to Mexico for the first time with a youth group that was going there on a cultural exchange. And one of the destinations was the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe. Interestingly, from a John Paul perspective, on his first trip abroad from as Pope in 1979, that was his destination. Mm. He went to the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And I write about that in my book as well. So Our Lady of Guadalupe was very close to his heart. He actually built a shrine in the Vatican grotto to Our Lady of Guadalupe. Mm. And it became close to my heart as well. You know, there are only two really miraculous images that exist. One is the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe. The other is the Shroud of Turin. Inexplicable images. Thirdly would be this Divine Mercy over my shoulder, but that's another story, another talk, another interview. And then when I worked for the Marian Fathers, I went to Mexico, and every time I went, visited the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe. I went twice with the Marian Fathers, and then twice when I worked for Legatus. Now, Legatus is a membership organization of Catholic business leaders that spans Canada and the United States. Worked there for 12 years and went on two pilgrimages there. So I've been to the shrine in Mexico City 5 times.
Mm, amazing. Amazing. Well, we're running out of time, but before we close, I mentioned in the intro about your sports endeavors, but fill in the listeners on what it is that you do these days for your 9-to-5 job.
Yeah, well, I'm still an avid runner. I am signed up for the Rock and Roll Half Marathon in Washington, D.C. that just got moved to March of 2021. Mm. That's my next race. I set a goal of running 1,000 miles this year.
Wow.
And I'm up to 708 already. Well on my way to hitting that goal. My full-time job, though, is I'm executive director of a pregnancy center in Northern Virginia. Been in the job here for 5-6 weeks. I've been an avid pro-life activist and on the board of a pregnancy center for 3 years. Avid pro-life activist my whole life. Matter of fact, an interesting sports story. When I was a teenager, I made a pledge to ride my bicycle across Canada, 5,000 miles, to raise awareness for pro-life issues. My parents vetoed that idea, but I publicly said that I would do this and made the commitment to do this as a 16-year-old Canadian kid. So pro-life has been in been one of my passions. I didn't mention earlier that I'm second of nine children, and so I always tell this story that when I was a kid, I knew where babies came from because I saw my mother's belly get larger and larger, and then I had a sibling, and then it got larger and larger again, and I had another sibling, and then it got larger and larger again, and I had two siblings because she had twins.
Wow.
So I knew where babies came from even as a kid. They came from my mother's belly. Being a pro-life person was just it was natural for me, and to be on the front lines in the pro-life movement is a great joy for me.
Beautiful Patrick, so great to talk to you. Thank you for being on the show. God bless you and the work that you're doing and in all the marathons that you're running.
Thank you, Bruce.
Listeners, let's close with a prayer. And since we have an athlete as the guest this week, we will close with a prayer for athletes. And as always, we'll do it in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, God, for giving me life and talents for my participation in sports. Help me to play well, to use my powers to the full, to see them as gifts from you. Be with me when I need to play hurt, when I have to deal with the pain of injury, disappointment, loss. Keep me aware of the brotherhood, the sisterhood I have with all athletes, even when they are opponents. Free me from the temptation to fake, to foul, to cheat. I need to see that dedication to the cause will mean suffering, but let me know that it is the kind of suffering that leads to new life and greater maturity. Help me play with heart and never lose heart. Most of all, help me never to quit in my efforts to be open to you, for I believe your full coming into my life is the way to real life in all I do. I believe it is the way of my becoming the truly human person you destined me to be. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those. C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Holo is here to help. Holo is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Holo has something for everyone. Holo is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.holo.app/breadbox.